Despite a long and testy press conference yesterday by the former Prime Minister Scott Morrison, there remains many unanswered questions about his secret appointment into five ministerial portfolios. Governor-General David Hurley spoke to the ABC for the first time since the controversy erupted, insisting all appointments were made consistent with the Constitution. And then he put out a statement and said publicising them was up to the government.
I've released a statement about my role in this, my responsibilities under the principle of responsible government by which we run our country. I'm content at the moment to allow the processes the Prime Minister has put in place to run through till next week. In the meantime, I'll do my job as I've done it in the past.
Governor General Hurley later issued a written statement saying he had no reason to believe the appointments would not be communicated, and it's not the responsibility of the Governor General to advise the ministry or the parliament or the public on administrative changes of this nature. But constitutional expert Professor Luke Beck from Monash University says the Governor General has broken with convention and it's not clear why. Luke Beck joins us this morning. Professor Beck, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How would you describe the Governor-General's latest statement?
So the Governor-General's latest statement is a little bit evasive. And so particularly the statement where he says that he had no reason to think that these appointments would not be communicated. I call bullshit on that. He, in fact, actually knew. After the maybe he didn't know for the first appointment, but after that first appointment was never publicised, he then appointed Morrison to four other additional ministries. And on each occasion, the Governor-General knew that none of those was being made public. So the Governor-General in fact knew after the first one that these were not being communicated publicly. So that part of the statement is misleading. After the first appointment, the Governor-General had actual knowledge that these things were not being communicated. So his statement is evasive. And so there are questions around his statement. And then the statement his office released the day before, that statement was released when we only knew about three of the secret ministries. And that statement failed to mention the additional two ministries that we later found out about. So the Governor-General in 2 days has issued two separate evasive statements. And so that just raises a number of questions about the Governor-General's role in this.
If you're just tuning in, this is RM Breakfast. We're speaking to constitutional law expert who has used a swear word very early in the morning, Professor Luke Beck. Children are listening, Luke Beck. Let's be careful.
I will refrain.
Yeah, thank you. The Governor-General insists that publicising the ministerial appointments was up to the government. Is that correct, though? What usually happens when someone is appointed as a minister?
So the ordinary process is that when a person is appointed as a minister, whether as a senior minister or a junior minister or a parliamentary secretary or assistant minister, that gets published in the Gazette. And that did not happen on these five occasions. And so that is also a question that we need to
So every single time in history, it's gazetted?
We have never had secret ministers in the past. This is new. This is unprecedented. It has always been public knowledge. It has always been known to Parliament who the ministers are.
Okay. So let me just, draw you back to, and now in this statement, the Governor-General says he had no reason to believe it wouldn't be made public. So that's you're saying that's a breaking of convention, that his understanding was that it was the government that would actually make some sort of announcement around this.
No. So we have to focus on the Governor-General statement very closely. He had no reason to believe it would not be communicated. He had every reason. He had actual knowledge because the first one wasn't publicised. And then he did the second one and the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one, and none of them were publicised. The Governor-General knew that none of these were being communicated. So the fact that he claims that he had no reason to believe that, he had actual knowledge that that was not happening. So the Governor-General knew after the first one was kept secret that these appointments were not being communicated publicly. And ordinary practice in this country is that ministerial appointments are published in the Gazette. And the reason for that is one, because the Gazette is the formal official government publication for notices. But the fundamental reason is that in our system, as you'll grab from the Governor-General mentioned, we have a system of responsible government. That's the Westminster system, where ministers are accountable to Parliament. And ministerial accountability to Parliament can effectively work only if Parliament knows who the ministers are and which minister is responsible for what. So this whole saga, and And the core of the blame rests with Scott Morrison. Let's be clear about that. But this saga has been a breach of constitutional convention. It has undermined our principles of responsible government.
What should have the Governor-General done then? What would have been the appropriate thing for him to do? Are you suggesting that after it wasn't publicised the first time, after perhaps Scott Morrison was appointed to the health ministry, that he should have twigged that it wasn't getting public announcement?
Yeah, so the governor, after that first one, the Governor-General should have twigged, and then the Governor-General ought to have exercised his right to warn the Prime Minister about the course of conduct that the Prime Minister was undertaking. And we don't know whether that happened. There are still a lot of unknowns in this story.
Yes, that is important, isn't it? Because we don't actually know. The Governor-General wouldn't necessarily have told us publicly that he warned the Prime Minister.
No, not necessarily. But at the same time, the Governor-General... Well, the Governor-General's statement suggests that that never happened. The Governor-General said he had no reason to believe that none of these appointments were being publicly communicated. So if he had no reason to doubt that, he would have had no basis for warning the Prime Minister of the day. But we know that the Governor-General, in fact, knew that these things were not being made public after the first one was kept secret. So the fact that we've had these two evasive statements from the Governor-General, you know, raises more questions. We don't know what happened behind the scenes, but we know the Governor-General claims in a very implausible way that he knew nothing about this all being kept secret for so long, even though he must have known. So there are lots of questions about what went on behind the scenes. Did Scott Morrison effectively instruct the Governor-General to keep it secret? We don't know. There are lots and lots of questions. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Well, given it's usually, as you say, always there's always a gazetting of every decision, does that point to the advice that that Scott Morrison provided the Governor-General saying not to gazette it in this instance?
Well, it certainly raises a suspicion that some sort of instruction or advice was issued from Scott Morrison to keep it secret. Clearly, there was a plan on the part of Scott Morrison to keep this secret from the public, from the parliament, from the cabinet.
Well, he told us because he said it would be misconstrued and misunderstood if it was known. So he's actually confirmed that he didn't want it to be known.
Yeah, so fundamentally, at core, Scott Morrison is to blame for this and he has to wear it. But there are questions about the process by which all of this happened and the role of the Governor-General in that process. And then questions about, you know, these evasive statements that the Governor-General has put out, two in 2 days. The Governor-General, contrary to what His Excellency claims, did in fact know that these things were not being communicated publicly after the first one was kept secret. And so, you know, that raises more questions. You know, why is the Governor-General issuing evasive statements? So, there may be an explanation for that, but
so whose duty is it to gazette?
So obviously, you know, the Prime Minister and the Governor-General themselves don't, you know, write up the notice and, you know, send it off. Officials do that, but it's done as a matter of course. So, you know, whether that's from
and is it the responsibility of Government House to do that?
I would imagine it's done in conjunction with the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet and Government House so that you get the information. It's just done as a matter of course by officials. So there would have had to have been a process whereby somebody powerful, i.e. Scott Morrison, you know, interfered and, you know, made it clear that this was not to be published, this was not to be known.
And the point is we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what process has happened behind the scenes to make this happen. All we know is that on the advice of Scott Morrison, the Governor-General appointed Scott Morrison to these five ministries. The processes behind the scenes by which that happened, who spoke to whom, was there writing, what were there meetings, all of those questions, we don't know. We need to get to the bottom of what actually happened, because what happened here is not okay. It's contrary to basic fundamental constitutional practice in this country. We do not have secret ministers. We always have a system whereby ministerial power is accountable to Parliament. That means that ministers must be known.
Professor Luke Beck, thank you for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Professor Luke Beck, constitutional expert from Monash University.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.